Entering a crowded restaurant with a friend, Gregory Peck found no table available. "Tell them who you are," murmured his friend. "If you have to tell them who you are, you aren't anybody," said Peck. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the instant inspiration. How many times have you gone into a restaurant and seen other people be hailed as, "Oh, hello, Yul Brynner. Hello, President," and immediately get a seat? And you thought to yourself, wouldn't it be nice if I had a name? And as I came walking in the restaurant, people would bow and kowtow to me. And Ellen was just saying from her experiences in Italy, you walk into an Italian restaurant and you give the maitre d' a bunch of change, a couple hundred thousand lire, and you'll have a table in no time. And if you wish, he will have the busboy go around shouting, "Hello, is Mrs. Jeremini here? Telephone call for Mrs. Jeremini. Mrs. Jeremini of the Jeremini's Jeremini's. Is Mrs. Jeremini here?" You know, to get a little bit of publicity. And whenever that happens in a restaurant, you can be sure that somebody paid for it. Because if Mrs. Jeremini was anybody at all, and the busboy wanted to bring a phone to her, he'd know where to find her. He'd know just which table to go to. But whenever people's names are called, you can be sure that they've had a little advance promotion going on there because they like the publicity. I like what Gregory Peck said. He said, if you have to tell them who you are, you're nobody. If we have to tell the world who we are, we're nobody. If our words have to reveal who we are, then we're not acting right. We're not living it. We're not expressing it in everything that we do and every attitude of our being. I would imagine, and I would imagine this very easily, and it would be so easy to imagine this that I'm going to imagine, because it is so imaginable. Now just imagine if Her Highness the Queen of England walked into any place in California, and she wasn't expected, and she just walked in there. Do you think that they would know that she was important? You see, if they'd know she's important, they wouldn't know necessarily that she's the Queen of England, but they know she's important because she has that ambience about her, that attitude, her charisma is just so glorious that she would know. Now, the same would be true for Diane, you know, Princess Diane. Wherever she went, she had a carriage about her, she had a demeanor about her, she had an attitude about her that spelled out somebody special. Not necessarily the princess, but somebody special. And people love to associate with people who are somebody special. You see a lot of these movies where these people are pretend people. Of course, they're all pretend people because it's a movie. Not one of them is a royal person. But in the pretend movie, the royal person is pretending that they're not royal because they wanted to go to a disco and dance and be themselves and not be pestered so much by people who wanted to have their autograph or whatever. And I enjoy movie stars. Now, movie stars are not unique. Movie stars are not people with a lot of charisma. They have a face or a body that is recognized off screen. And so when a movie star goes into a theater or goes into a restaurant, he has to tell the people in the restaurant that he's coming. She has to tell. Because the people would not recognize her. Because they wear different hairdos, they wear different clothes. Very seldom do you recognize a movie star. But he's got to be very, very popular, very unusual. And just because you're popular to one segment of society doesn't mean you're popular to another. Now, if the modern movie stars, if the movie stars of today were to come out and walk in front of us, we wouldn't have the vaguest idea who they are. We don't see the current movies. We're not into it. And we wouldn't have, but because these movie stars are movie stars, they would walk with a certain luster to them, a certain joy, a certain flamboyance and freedom, and we would say, who do they think they are? No. If they do this, we would not say, who do they think they are? We'd say, hey, they must be somebody special. They are themselves and having fun. At least that's what we think. They have learned how to act like a person who's being themselves and having fun. And so we look at them and we say, there's somebody special perhaps, you know. Now, would anyone look at you or at me and think that we're special? Think about it. Do we have the simplicity, the flamboyance, the joy of being ourselves? Not flaunting ourselves as, I'm Mr. Muscles, or I'm this body, you know, or I'm Miss Kalita, you know, and the people just, you know, they say, yuck. But are we so happy in being whatever we are that all the world looks at us and says, hey, I like that guy. I don't know why, but I like that person. That woman's a beautiful woman, but she's not really beautiful. But she's got charisma sticking out all over her. We were speaking about other people the other day who were like that. They were not beautiful people, but they were glorious people. You talk to them and you just feel wonderful in their presence because they have this shining inner charisma coming out. We had a waitress in that restaurant yesterday, and she came to the table, and Ellen says, do you have fish? And the woman says, the waitress says, if you want fish, go to the ocean. Here she is running a restaurant, you know. And Ellen immediately was taken by her flamboyance and her generousness and her geniality and so forth. And so the woman came out and she said, now this is what I always eat. This is what I like. This is what I think is great. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Liar, liar, pants on fire. We found out later she just started. She had perhaps never even eaten any of those meals. But she was a good salesperson. And the food was good. She told us it was good. We ate it. It was good. And perhaps it was even better because she told us it was good. But then when she came around, Ellen went back for some reason and get some toothpicks or something. And she said, do you have this or do you have that? The woman says, well, really, I'm new here. I just started, and I don't know all the details here. And here she is going around saying, that's what I always have. That's what this. Now, maybe she does. Maybe she ate there before she became a waitress. She might have done that. Her very wealthy husband might have died and left her in debt, and she had to go to work, you know. Who knows, you know? She was not an attractive woman. She had a face that could have killed 1,000 horses, but she had charisma, she had charm, she had delight in her. She could open her mouth and take in New York City, you know, or she could, you know, do with her eyes, but she, slim and trim, just a charming thing, and you could not think one bad thing about her. Even as I'm trying to say bad things about her, they don't turn out bad, because she was a delight. But can you do that? Can you do that wherever you go? Be the charming, delightful person that is your inner self, that is your inner reality. We're talking about Gregor Mueller, our wonderful student who is living up in Geyserville in California here. And Gregor has always been a competent, capable person in anything he wanted to do. But he also was and is a charmer. Any woman come in his presence and they immediately melt because he has a way of turning on that big, wonderful smile of his and that innocent childlikeness of his. What is he, 40 years old? But he turns on that innocent childlikeness of his and everybody just melts in his arms. He's a fabulous guy. We could all learn a great deal from him. But is he sincere? 100%. Is he a beautiful guy? 100%. Are we sincere? Not at all. No, really. Ellen, do you ever go around saying you don't feel good?
No, never.
That's not being sincere. Do you ever go around saying there's a problem in the world? That's not being sincere. Do you ever go around saying that the world is just not doing right by you? That's not sincere. If you ever say those things, then you're not a Gregorite. And I want you all to be Gregorites. I want you to be yourselfites. Be yourself and have fun. Enjoy yourself. Because if you are anybody, you don't have to tell anybody that you are. Because they'll look at you and they'll say, isn't that a lovely person? And you may look terrible. Now, for instance, Sue came over to visit at Rochelle's house. And Sue had just come from the ball game with her daughter. Her daughter was playing in the ball game. And Sue was all dressed up with her ball hat and, you know, her casual clothes. And she just walked in there. You knew she was a special lady. You knew it before you even took a picture of her, you know. And we've got some good pictures. So what is it that about, what's about her? What is her charisma? Her charisma is her being an independent person, being a delightful person who just loves herself, who lives in her own world, who creates about her beautiful people, who lives in harmony and peace, who toddles over the world, taking her baby with her, and just having a ball, just having a ball. And she took the baby along because the baby needed to be fed. And so she took the baby. The other kids, I think she left at home, didn't she? Did she? Maybe. But she took the baby. And the baby was no inhibition to her. Rochelle was out in her kitchen, and she was preparing dessert and strawberries and ice cream and all sorts of good stuff for the kids and for us. The kids were all around her. They were jumping up and down. They were working on special projects. They wanted to cut the strawberries. They wanted to do this. And she let them. But when she got done, she had everything just the way she wanted it. You know? No problem. Mm-hmm. Now, how did she do that? It would drive most people crazy to have all those kids. Would you get out of here? I want to prepare the... Didn't bother her. She says, this is their house. This is their life. I enjoy having them here. And they were a joy. And none of them were in any way bad, mean, or hateful. They were just pure love. Just pure love, like little Benjamin. My goodness sakes. what a charmer. What a charmer. And the other kids, you know.
Sophia.
And
Sarah.
And Sarah.
And Sarah.
And Bailey.
Yeah, and Bailey. And
the little one is Sarah.
Sarah, thank you.
Sonia. Sophie.
Sophie the baby.
The baby was Sophie, right. And she was just born with a smile on her face. She was born perfect. Just every organ, action, function of her body is perfect. She just looks like a person, a total person. Most babies look sort of like a baby, you know. And you feel that they need your help, and they need you to carry them or cuddle them. And Sophia, no way. She just was an independent person from the way up. And Sarah, too. Mm. And Sarah would go and take care of Sophia and do things. And Sophia says, if you wish, you may be my helper. But always, Sophia was on top. And, of course, Bailey there. Bailey wasn't feeling too well, but that was not going to disturb her. She was going to run that show. She was going to run that visitation. She was going to get all the attention. Everybody was going to look at her and pay attention to her. She had a little bit of a cough, but that was just part of the game. She was whole and perfect. But she's a master. She's a master. Nobody objected either. Nobody objected to her taking charge. And they all cooperated 100%. And she went in the living room and put on The Wizard of Oz. As Greg says, she never watched it before, but she put it on. And a little boy looked up there, and he saw the witch and so forth. He said, oh, that's a terrible lady, you know. And then when he saw the witch of the West, I think it was, oh, she's a nice lady. But you see, that's his innocence, his genius, his just being himself and having fun. Could you walk into a room and look at those four children, and which one would you say was the lover?
Benjamin.
Now, Benjamin didn't do anything to be loving. He just was himself. Mm-hmm. He didn't want something. He didn't need anything. He didn't reach out to anybody. Yeah, he didn't deny anybody who wanted to hug him, but he was just himself. And each one of the children had a personality of their own. Mm-hmm. But the first you'd see is Benjamin, because he was like a light. Mm-hmm. He just shone. And that's because he loved himself, because he was such a happy guy. And then all the other children came on in their own special ways too. And they're very fabulous children. Now, you know they're somebody special. You know they are. You know they are. You know that Bailey comes from a very wealthy family. You know that her mother and father are Mr. and Mrs. Scott Rocksill. They've got beaucoup money. At least that's what you think. Because she is such a self-confident, self-sufficient, capable girl. You would never think that she didn't have something. You'd only think she did have something. And this is great. And this is how we want the world to enjoy us. We want the world to enjoy us as we are ourselves and have fun. As we play the game of being master of our own life experiences. As we walk into a room, not to impress anybody, but just to be ourselves. And so everybody in the room looks over at us and they say, "Hey, are you somebody?" And you say, "Of course I am. What do you think this is, you know? Well, who are you?" Well, and you give them your name. "I never heard of you before." "Oh, that's only because you haven't been walking the path that I walk. And I've heard of me all the time, you know." "Oh, come on now." But you see, this is it. If you have to tell somebody who you are, you're nobody. If people look at you and say, "Hey, are you somebody?" Then you're sure enough to be somebody. And you still don't tell anybody who you are. You just live it and express it. And everybody looks at you and says, "Wow, I like that person." Just like me, I say to each of you, I love you, I love you, I love you.